Knepper on this insert. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. We'd love to have you join us. Everyone is welcome. I also want to let you know that this Wednesday is our last midweek gather for this school year. We'll be taking a break for the summer, so if you are available on Wednesday, we'll have Bible study at 5:15. The children's choir is singing at a local nursing home. We'll have dinner together, and then in the 6:30 time, this youth and children are preparing to help lead worship next Sunday on Mother's Day, and so we invite all y'all to come back next Sunday for our Mother's Day celebration. We'll have a photo booth, so moms, you can finally corral the kids who never want to be in a picture with you into a picture. They have to do it because it's Mother's Day. We'll also have special leadership from our middle school youth and the children of the church, and our kids choir, Grace Notes, will be singing. So another special Sunday next week. You'll find more information about Bible studies, gatherings, ways to serve, both in the bulletin today and on our website, and we invite you to become involved in any way that you feel led. Friends, we come into this space just as we are, and we are welcomed by God into his presence. And so I invite you in the next few minutes to prepare your hearts to worship this morning. The choir would come on forward.
Thank you, Mendez Choir. It's very, very beautiful. our call to worship comes from Psalm 103 to 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Please pray with me. O God, light of the minds that you know, life of the souls that love you, strength of the thoughts that seek you, help us to know you that we may truly love you, to love you that we may fully serve you, whose service is perfect freedom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our prayer confession today, we will sing His Mercy Is More. We'll sing that when you hear me say, praise the Lord, His mercy is more. As we come into God's presence this morning, we are confronted with the holiness of our God, the holy otherness of our God, and we find ourselves to be lacking. In the presence of God, we find ourselves profane and unclean. Yet, at the same time, we are confronted with God's steadfast love and mercy. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And so, our song pours forth, praise the Lord, his mercy is more. The gospel of Christ is this. Christ is our peace. The dividing wall of hostility is broken down between us. Christ came to proclaim peace, peace to those who were far off and to those who are near. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please greet each other with the peace of Christ.
At this time, I'm happy to invite our young disciples, any children, to come forward for a special message. I invite you to come forward at this time. Come on, all the way forward. You get to sit up here. This is your big moment. Welcome. We're sure glad to see you this morning. Good morning, Charlotte and Nolan. Come on forward. We all found our way. Great job. A few more are finding their way. Thank you for coming so quickly. Well, welcome. We are, I'm really glad to see all of you. Some of you guys I get to see here at church every single week, and some of you I get to see at Mendez just recently every single week, right? And some of you are brand new to me. Whichever one you are, I'm really glad to see you this morning, and you are welcome here. We're glad to have you. Oh, and you. All y'all are welcome. Well, I have something today that might make you a little bit excited, but can anybody tell me what these are? They're M&Ms. Now, don't be excited because I found them. They're really, really old in the back of my drawer. So we're not going to eat them today. But if I was going to eat them, let me tell you a secret about me. This is Pastor Amy trivia. If I was going to eat these M&Ms, I would eat the green ones first. You know why? They're my favorite. They all taste the same. That's what makes it silly. They're still my favorite. And you know what? When I said I was going to eat the green ones first, Miss Vicky over here said, not the red. Miss Vicky, are red your favorite?
Yes.
Yes. Does anybody else have a favorite color of M&Ms? What's your favorite? The red?
Yes.
The blue?
Orange?
Yellow? Yes. The blue?
Blue.
Well, blue is very popular, yes?
All of them.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, you know what's really awesome? They do all taste the same. So even if you have a favorite and you eat those first or save them for last because they're your favorite, they'll taste just the same as the other ones. And he's right. All of them could be our favorites. This reminds me of something that's really important and really exciting about God. God looks at us, and even though we might look different or act different or be different, one from the other, everybody's different, right? God looks at us, and he likes all of us the same. He loves each one of us just as much as the next one. He doesn't have a favorite. That's hard to believe, because some of y'all are pretty awesome, and I might think that's probably God's favorite. But the truth is that God likes the very most awesome person just as much as God loves the very worst person. God doesn't have any favorites. That's how big his love is for us. And so when we think about, should we come to church? Does God want me to be there? Of course. God loves you just as much as the next person. When we think, am I worth something to God? Of course. He doesn't have a favorite. He loves you just as much as the next person and has big plans for you. Later on in the worship service today, we're going to have a chance to share communion together. And that's a meal that we share as Christians to remember how much God loves us. And we're going to come forward and we'll take a piece of bread and we'll dip it in the cup of juice and we'll eat that bread and juice as a reminder of how much Jesus loves us. And the thing is that every single one of you and y'all are invited to be a part of that meal. Because God doesn't have favorites, and every one of us is welcomed to remember and celebrate Jesus' love for us. Let's pray together. If you'll repeat after me. Dear God, we are so happy that you don't play favorites, that you love every single one of us as much as every single one of us. Thank you for Jesus. And the way that he loved us, enough to die for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together.
Thank you, guys. You may head back to your seats now.
God, bring us into your word today, that we might hear of your steadfast, loving kindness, and that we may not go away from here unchanged. Amen. We are picking up our story today in the book of Acts, chapter 10. But before I read the part of the scripture I'm going to read, I want to kind of bring you into our story today. The story today begins about, it's about two people, really. It's about Peter and Cornelius. And Cornelius is not as well known as Peter is in our Bible story, but it's the story of Cornelius's conversion. Just one conversion among many in our Bibles, but it's a vital one. And it's vital to you and to me. But we'll get back to that in just a little bit. We've come through Easter. We're just a few weeks away from Easter, and Jesus has commissioned his disciples to go out to tell the world about Jesus, to tell him all that he has taught them. And the disciples are talking about Jesus everywhere they go, and people are believing this story. Through the disciples' ministry, people are coming to find God and to meet God. But to this point, the disciples have stuck to the people that they already know. They go to the synagogues for worship, and the word is spreading among the Jewish people. And Jewish people are coming to faith in Jesus. But it's only among the Jewish people. Christianity is a smaller group. It's just a small group among Judaism at this point. Until this particular story. You see, Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was a member of the occupying army that was stationed in Israel. And that army was the same army that was commissioned to hang Jesus on the cross. Yet, we hear that Cornelius was really well respected. He was a good man who gave money to the poor and prayed often. And one day when Cornelius was praying, he had a vision of an angel. And that angel told him to seek out Peter, to look for Peter who was staying in a neighboring village. And so he did that. He sent two of his men over to Peter. The next day, the story goes that Peter was praying. And while lunch was being prepared, he had a vision, but this one was a whole lot weirder. He had a vision that this sheet or blanket came down from heaven. And on that sheet and on that blanket are all kinds of animals, all kinds of birds. They have all hooved animals and all kinds of animals. And when they get there, when they come down, this voice from heaven calls out, "Kill and eat." But see, Peter could not be tempted. He responded to the voice. He said, "Fat chance." He said, "No way am I doing that. I have never eaten from anything that is profane or unclean." Basically, he's never eaten anything that's not kosher. This happens three different times. This blanket comes down. The voice says, "Eat." And Peter says, "Fat chance. I'm not doing it." And this continues to happen. And the last time, the third time, it goes back into heaven, never to happen again. But this whole vision stuck with Peter. Peter just couldn't let go of it. And so when he left that vision... When he stopped his praying and went down to eat, he found out that the men from Cornelius had come, and they were there at the house he was staying at. And they were there with that simple message that Cornelius has asked for him to come and speak to him. And it turns out that Peter's curiosity won out, and he invited those people in for the night, and the next day he sets out. And that's where we pick up our reading today. The next day, Peter got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day, they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, for I am only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled, And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the house of another Simon, a tanner by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now, all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say.' Then Peter began to speak to them, 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John had announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord. I realize that was a rather long story, but it would have been even longer if I'd read the part I just put paraphrased for you earlier. This story is, like I said, an important story, but at first glance, it's really not a miraculous story. Except, of course, for the pigs on the blanket and the angel, of course. But otherwise, it's somewhat a normal coming-to-faith story. Cornelius invites Peter to tell him and his family the gospel story. Peter does just that. And Cornelius and his family are filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith, and they are baptized as Christ followers. In this way, Cornelius is just like any other believer. And that is true. He's just like any other believer until we realize that Cornelius represents a monumental shift in the way that Peter, and therefore we, understand the gospel. Cornelius is the first non-Jewish Christ follower in the book of Acts. And that shift, the shift isn't just for Peter. He's not the only one who sees this change in the way in who the gospel is reaching out to. But there are other Jewish people with him, other circumcised Jewish people. And when they see the Holy Spirit fall on these people, this mental shift, this change happens for them as well. You see, in the Jewish worldview, there are really only two groups of people, and we've talked about this before, but there are really only two groups of people presented in our Bibles. There are the Jews, and then there is everybody else. The Bible calls them Gentiles. Right? They're the Jews and the Gentiles. It's Jews and everybody else. But in this interaction, between Cornelius and Peter, that separation becomes untrue. What they all experienced in that moment was the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that they had experienced in their own lives, present in the hearts and lives of these Gentiles. They saw that the power and the presence of God was in them and upon them. And their whole perspective changed in this moment. Because in the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles are one in the same. But this understanding, this new revelation, this new perspective change would never have happened had Peter decided to stay put. Had Peter just decided to stay in his house and to choose not to go out and meet Cornelius, then it's possible that all of us in this room would not be listening to this message today. Because it's Peter's decision to go out and to speak with Cornelius that changes everything. Christian theologian and writer Richard Rohr talks a lot about something he calls voluntary displacement. I know those are big words, but it's okay. Voluntary displacement. He says that if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to understand our faith better, if we want to know God more, then we have to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. We have to put ourselves specifically in uncomfortable situations with people who are not like us. By doing this, we get to know the other. We also get to know ourselves, and we get to know God's mercy and God's love better than we could any other way. I didn't have these words for it at the time, these voluntary displacement words. But that's part of why I believe we took our family to Africa a few months ago. Often people ask us if we went as part of a mission trip. And the answer is that no, we had no particular mission in mind when we went, other than to have our family experience what it was like to be in a foreign place where we do not look like the other people around us or talk like the people that we met. We spent the majority of our trip in people's homes as they blessed us with feasts that they prepared for us as their guests. And it was there, in their hospitality, that we came face to face with God. You see, Peter voluntarily puts himself in an uncomfortable situation. He knows that it's forbidden. It's forbidden for a Jew to associate with or be in the homes of Gentiles. But he goes anyway, because he's curious about what God is up to. And what he finds there is so much more than he could have ever even imagined. His whole perspective on the message of Christ shifts from a message for my people, people who act like me, people who look like me, who talk like me, who eat like me, who dress like me, who worship like me, to a message for all people who fear the Lord. Peter knew the gospel story. He already knew it, but until this moment, it was a limited version of the gospel story. one limited to the world in which he lived and the circles in which he ran. See, without this story of Peter and Cornelius, it's possible that the gospel never makes it outside the Jewish people in which it was born. But here is the truth that Peter comes to and that we are confronted with today. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. This gospel message is for everyone. But what stands out to me today is that without voluntarily displacing ourselves, we will never know what that truly means. Instead, if we don't voluntarily displace ourselves, what we find is that we limit God's message of redeeming love to our type of people, whatever that is. There are so many ways that we divide ourselves, ways in which we make ourselves distinct and place ourselves on that moral high ground. We know the categories: Republican and Democrat, Texan and Californian, Protestant and Catholic, Baptist and Presbyterian, and really anything other denomination you can come up with, rich and poor. We divide based on race and sexuality, based on what we wear and what we eat. Yet if we want to know the power of the gospel, what this story tells us is that we have to take ourselves out of the boxes that we put ourselves in and to seek to see God at work in the lives of others. One of the ways that we regularly practice that here at First Presbyterian Church is in our partnership with you, in our partnership with Mendez Elementary. While we are not truly separated much by physical distance, we are in the same city after all. We are divided by economics and culture, often by the color of our skin and the language we speak, and the railroad track that divides our town. Yet, in this partnership, our church has chosen to voluntarily displace ourselves, to take ourselves out of our comfort zones and into relationship that is not just served the people there at Mendez, but it has served us so greatly as well. It's reshaped the way that this church understands what the gospel means. Through our ministries like Kids Rock, the mentoring program, tutoring, birthday lunches, and the educational support that we offer, we are reaching kids and families with the message of God's love for them. But it's a two-way street. This message comes both directions. Our understanding of what the gospel means is changing because of our partnership as well. As this church continually turns to move outwards in the ministries that we offer and that we are a part of. But I also today want to recognize the families, you, the kids and the families who have shown up today to worship with us. Because today you have voluntarily displaced yourselves. You have shown up in our place of worship, in a place that might be uncomfortable. And I hope that in this place, that our understanding of the gospel together is changing today and every time that we come together. Your presence here is a reminder for us that God is working in ways that we cannot see and can only know through our relationship with you. You see, in Christ, there is no east or west side of the railroad tracks. And if we follow Peter's example and go to see the other side, whichever side it is that we live on, then we will truly understand the height and breadth and depth of God's love for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand and to sing with us. We are singing from our blue hymnals. You will find them in the pews in front of you. We are singing hymn number 439, In Christ There Is No East or West.
You may be seated. I'm happy this morning to welcome Principal McGowan to share a little bit of news from Mendez today. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to be here and to hear that really important message. It is such a blessing for us to have this partnership with your church and come together and be able to celebrate our great kids. Didn't they do? I think they did awesome. We enjoy them. You know, in this time when the state legislature is looking at school finance and our campus budgets are always cut year to year, it's such a comfort to know that through the generosity of this congregation, we can still provide some of the fun enrichment activities that we do for our kids. I think if you ask them, our second graders would tell you they love the butterfly release, where they get to watch the caterpillars turn into butterflies and then release them. Our first and third graders love Emily Ann Theater, where they can go and have interactive plays. Yeah, Caden's raising his hand. Also, for the kids whose plays are chosen to be produced, that's real excitement for them. Our fourth and fifth graders benefit from the activities and the team building at John Knox Presbyterian Camp. Our kids' rock club, I know, could grow. But they're like, no, let's don't grow. But it's such a joy to see kids there every week and hearing about God's love for them. And then all of our kids work hard to reach our school-wide expectations so they can participate in character counts and behavior reward days. Right, guys? Yeah. You know, sometimes we think we take things for granted, like, we all jump in our car and we travel to Wimberley, or we go to the movie theater to see if what the critics are saying is really true about that movie. But for some of our kids, that's the first opportunity they have to have those experiences. And so again, with the generosity of the church, it makes it possible for our kids. In our community, we have too many kids that come to school with terrific trauma in their backgrounds. They put on a brave face and they go about the business of doing their schoolwork. This is where our work begins. This is an opportunity for voluntary displacement, because we can use mentors to nurture these children and to help change their story. There's a poem called The Dash, and in it, it talks about when we die, we have a tombstone, and it marks our birth, and it marks our death. And in between is a dash. And it goes on to talk about how the dash is what's most important. What do we do with our life and with the talents and the gifts that God has given us? And I really, really believe that with this church and with the terrific staff at Mendes. Those teachers are so committed, and they could work at other schools where it's easier, but they're committed to our kids, and I truly believe that together we're doing God's work because we're taking care of the children. So thank you for all you do for us, for the kids, and we look forward to another partnership next year.
At this time in our service, I'd like to show you what our Mendes partnership looks like. So if you have volunteered for a birthday lunch at Mendes Elementary School, I'd like you to stand up. If you have mentored a student at Mendes Elementary School, I'd like you to stand up. If you attended a trunk or treat at Mendes Elementary School, I'd like you to stand up. If you go to school at Mendes Elementary School, I'd like you to stand up. If you are a parent or a grandparent or any other relative who gets a kid to school at Mendes Elementary School, I'd like you to stand up. If you work at Mendes Elementary, I'd like you to stand up. If you were here on our fifth Sunday and packed snack bags for Mendes Elementary School, I'd like you to stand up. If you come to worship here on Mendes Elementary Sunday, I'd like you to stand up. Y'all, it takes every single one of us to bring the light of Christ to the campus of Mendes Elementary School and every single one of us to celebrate the light of Christ here at First Presbyterian Church. So thank you for being a part of this partnership. You may be seated.
Friends and partners in Christ, this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not this church's table. It is Christ's table. And therefore, Christ invites everyone who would like to eat, to come, and to be fed with his body and his blood. This table is the great equalizing table. Because here we are all the same, all at the same time, sinners and people who are profoundly affected by Christ's mercy and Christ's love. Therefore, the people will come from east and west and north and south and sit at or stand at this table. For we are all one in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Please pray with me. God, our Lord and giver of grace, we give you thanks this day for every way you have richly blessed us. And we celebrate that we are each invited to come to this table to partake of your body, that we might be reminded of the depth and the breadth of your love for us. That in Jesus Christ you came to the earth to die for us. That in Jesus Christ you were raised again to new life, that we too might live forever. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would continue to pour out your Spirit in this place, that we might know and experience your presence among us. That as we come to share this meal together, each invited, each loved, each recipient of your mercy, that we might come into your very presence, that we might see you face to face, that we might be fed and leave rejoicing. For indeed, God, your mercy is wide. And Lord, as your gathered people, we pray together as Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup, said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for each of you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. Friends, you are God's beloved, and you are invited to come to this table to eat and remember that you have been redeemed. We'll receive communion today by intinction, and that's just a big word that means you come forward by the aisle. This side will come to the front, and this side to the back, one row at a time. Our deacons will invite you when it's time. You'll have a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and then partake of both together, remembering that this is the body and blood of Christ given for you for your redemption. Friends, come.
As a gift to
us. Rejoicing.
Through this meal, may we be one with each other and one with you in the Holy Spirit. Now and forevermore. Amen. This time in our service, we practice our offering. We practice the act of giving back to God from the gifts that he has given to us. As these plates pass today, I invite you to give as your heart leads you, but also to be thinking about where is it that God is asking you to go and to serve and to love.
God of every good gift, we lay this offering before your throne with the prayer that these gifts and our very lives might be used for your service in the world. In Jesus' name we live. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to invite two members of our congregation to come forward to be recognized as graduates of Texas State this year. If Catherine and Gabe could please come forward. We have been privileged to have y'all worshiping with us over the last, I don't know, just enough years. It has been personally a joy to watch Catherine and Gabe grow, to get to know them, to have them in our church family together. And so we will be sad to see you go. If you go, don't feel like you have to. I know Catherine's considering some graduate work, and Gabe's welcome to stay around as long as you would like to. In fact, I'm maybe a little bit in denial because I have an envelope prepared for Catherine, but I don't want Gabe to graduate, or Catherine for that matter, but perhaps I was in denial that you were actually going to graduate this semester, so we'll get your envelope to you. But this is for you, Catherine, and congratulations, and Gabe, thank you. All right, I'm going to be seated. I do invite you to offer your own congratulations and hear about their news at our fellowship time following the service. And Mendez families and kids, also we have some special treats back there right after we sing our final song. So if you would stand and sing with me.
God invites us to go forth and to displace ourselves so that we might know the gospel and that others might know it as well. So go into the world. In the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore.